Thank you, Joan and Chris. Thank you, Joan and Chris. And it's wonderful to be kind of back at Hemingway's, although not really at Hemingway's, but it's great that this is going again. And thanks to White Whale. This is my first time in this new space, so I'm really excited about it. And a little jealous from a store owner's point of view. I was not able to print my introduction to Lucy Brock-Toyto at home in a rainstorm, so I'm going to read it from my phone, and then I'm going to read some of her work. And this is mostly in case people in the audience aren't familiar with her work, or people who are zooming in. Lucy Brock-Toyto was born in Pittsburgh, was educated at Johns Hopkins in Columbia. She taught at Bennington, Princeton, Harvard, and Columbia, and received NEA and Guggenheim fellowships, as well as awards from the American Poetry Review and the Academy of American Arts and Letters. She wrote four collections of poetry: A Hunger, The Master Letters, Trouble in Mind, and Stay Illusion, which was a finalist for the National Book Award and the National Book Circle's Critic Award. I find her poems to be long, shadowy, very surreal at times, and tend toward the grotesque in the sense of distorted imagery, not like who. Many of her poems are persona poems written in the voices of real people, such as a child survivor of the Move fire in Philadelphia, Edward VI, and a victim of Vesuvius in Pompeii. She also pulls lines, images, or concepts from other writers and weaves those parts of other people's work into her work, and then also will weave her work into their work if the other work is the focus. And as a result, becomes very stream of consciousness and very lyrical. The narrative can be really kind of twisting. Her work is heavily endnoted, and as an academic geek, I love that. So it's not only a joy to read her work, but also a joy to read her footnotes as well, or her endnotes. When I was trying to pull poems for tonight's reading, I was struck by the darkness of her color palette in her books. So many of the poems are set in fall or winter with its browns and grays that it, this time of year tonight, notwithstanding, as the world is coming back and everything's green and the color yellow is everywhere, which I noticed because I'm allergic to basically everything that's yellow. I tried to pick poems that were lighter and poems that were definitively rooted in Western Pennsylvania, where she grew up. So that's, I'm gonna try to give you an overview of her poems in the style that I've talked about, but also in things that directly link her back to Pittsburgh. Her first book is Hunger. This is called Ohio and Beyond. Towns pass like pretty girls you wish you'd left behind, lifting their skirts gentle against their legs. Ravenna, Elyria, Vandalia, dark-haired beauties who fling their hair like girls do when the weather up and shifts. In Mingo Junction, spring will happen easily. The first warm night hangs on the eaves of the dance hall, drops down to the wooden floorboards, settles in the avocado vinyl of the front porch swing. You met a girl here once in the days when the land rolled back and fields of coal bloomed forth and glistened. Everyone was rich for a little while. She played the jukebox for you here one shiny night in April, curled her cool hand around your fist, danced slow with you. She said, "I found a starfish once in Florida." Dresses stuck to girls' skins differently back then. It wasn't all laid bare. All the way from here to Newfoundland, the rip-bop on the car radio carries you, rises like an ether, blue and faint on the road. This is probably her most well-known poem, and this is one of the ones where she's taking on the voice or wrapping her narrative around a real person or a real event. And this is called Jessica from the Well, about little Jessica McClure, who fell down the well when she was 18 months old. She sort of elevates her and mythologizes her. Jessica from the Well. One. This is what it was like. The morning pale all above me, a patch of sky like a blue poker flung into a floor of earth. This is what I have to go on. I am on my knees at first, a Jessica prayer. I pray against the rose calish, the hard pan rock, a marbling of new wound in my forehead. I've never spoken aloud yet to anyone alive, but I know all the words. On Wednesday morning, I slipped down the shaft like the small mythic creature I have always known I ought to be. No one was looking. I am mutable still. I fold myself. It is a gift to be this small and aboriginal. Even without food, I am growing, and I find this frightful that my body will become too large to live here comfortably. The earth opens for me, as I always knew it would for a wish. Two. All day, I am divined by sunlight, and October has gone damask, ochreous, ochreous. When I learn a word sometimes, I am compelled to use it. Given my disposition, I will always be circuitous, precocious, and embellisher. Like Oscar, I can make a world change with my voice, can shatter the diamond tips bit of the drill, can make the well's walls glitter back at me. My own voice travels sideways as it zigzags to the Titian center of the earth and curls back up to me like a seamstress's needle against her thimble in the very center of the Taj Mahal. I am the only one alive. By dusk, I am running out of ways to warm myself. I have warmed myself with myself. My own limbs curled all about me, fetal. Sometimes I am so obvious like that. I sing, and somewhere above, they can hear me humming along with myself and myself, a choir of me's. By nightfall, only a small albino fracture will be left of the moon, and I will have lost all light to navigate. Soon I will be famous. Three. By midnight, I can hear my own heart thump against the well, dry for a million miles till it hits the water, corrugated by the beating as it ripples back to me. It is instantly recognizable, the way a mother cat knows her own by scent and self-love. It is me. Before this day, my skin was never marred and Quaker pink. My forehead has opened now quite by happenstance, the etching on a wall of an undiscovered cave, unlucky hieroglyph. Take, for instance, my right leg, which by midnight I have accidentally wedged in a notorious and irredeemable position. I hate to be unnatural, especially in personal geometry, and by now the leg has lodged irrevocably up against my face, unbound, unfortunate. There is to be no turning back, and I will sing and think of crying for the first time, so they'll know at last I've blundered. I lean into the rock, a willful child, a little bruised, and if I go out, I will die dreaming. Four. I had forgotten the small news of the night between dreams and waking into the warm, smooth, blown air, shimmying down the oval of the well. In the whole history of song, I know very few. So this is what it's like. I am fixing on the hemp clothesline strung across Aunt Jamie Moore's backyard on last week's laundered sheets, triangled like sails, splashed with hyacinth and vetch, they stiffen in the wind against the Texan cobalt sky. It is dawn. All night long, my eyes widened to accommodate the lack of light, a self-illumined glowfish flat on its side. I keep my flicker constant, wide awake while sleeping, both eyes ajar. Big, gangly, weepy, gamey men, sweethearts and insomniacs keep prodding me to sing. And I sing. And move your foot for me, Juicy. And I wiggle it back and forth for the man. And how does a kitten go? And I go like a kitten goes, on and on, in that throaty, liquid, lewd, bull-legged voice like kittens make, then shut these big old eyes. Five. Someday I will be buried above ground like Monroe, vaulted always in the midst of flowers and sentiment. On the descent, I was magically compact, boneless. On the descent, I was magically compact, boneless, as agile as water itself, always on the way toward other water. The noise of my own form against the loosening walls, I am born into the dark rococo teratogenic rooms of the underground. All the noise of the world stops here and muffles me. This town knows how to drill. Sometimes my imagination gets to running wild. Bring me back alive. It was so simple to come down. I wake with my own hair wound into my fists. In sleep, I've torn my own self, pretty milky curls, a spool of me. In the matter of my toes, there has been damage done, but when I come back, they'll pinken up, I'm sure. In America, hard work and prayer. Resilience is bliss in the body, the voodoo of immunity, the will to come back, deliverance. 6. Surrounded by jelly and accoutrement of arrows for ascent from the well, I am born. Wide-eyed and swaddled in white linens, I emerge pristine and preserved, like some Egyptian form accompanied and gifted, with all the melodic charms necessary for the long quicksilver moments of the afterlife. So this is it. I rub my eyes in news light as if awakening from the mere corn-yellow husks of slumber of an ordinary late-day nap. The heart is left in situ. I am lifted from the oubliette, divined by water, blinking by air. I cannot speak a word yet, but I know them all. I sing, holding a piece of myself in my hand. It is hair and fear and church bells muscle against each other, and the earth opens for me, as I always knew it would for a myth. Given my character, I will always be mercurial, a little sentimental, star-shaped and terrestrial, divine by water, healed by air, luminescent, inconceivable, a prayer, a Jessica. I sing. That took a lot longer than I thought it was going to, right? Any time left at all? I have one more poem.
Yeah. All right, hang on here.
Okay, but of course, when I was reading that and timing it to myself, it didn't take me that long. Okay, I'm gonna skip. So let me just tell you quickly. The second book that she did called The Master Letters is a riff off of Emily Dickinson's Letters to the Master that were found after her death. And so a lot of those are really lettery. I'm not gonna read any of those. I'm just going to skip right to this great poem at the end of the illusion called Hello Babies. Okay, so trust me, there's not a lot of Pittsburgh in her stuff, but the stuff that is about Pittsburgh is often about fishing wasn't bothered. Okay. Hello babies, welcome to Earth. At the theme park in Homestead, past the steel mills along the Allegheny River's crinkled bank, I went back home to see if I could grok the way the children felt about the hurdy-gurdy man, his lugubrious, sweet music, his little capuchin with pinstripe train conductor's cap held out. It was a time in the world that was the snowball's one last season on its way to hell. The earth loved us a little, I remember, said the note pinned in the seersucker's left breast pocket of the surrealist suit on his way to Cincinnati then by rail. Small chippy dogs would follow him. He carried bones of milk and scrap. Only some of us have opposing thumbs, but not to worry now. Pop it, if you've anything to say, you should say it soon, I think. So, thank you.